we present John le Carré's A Perfect Spy, adapted for radio in 8 parts by René Basilico. Starring James Fox as Magnus Pym, with James Grout as Jack Brotherhood, and Brenda Bruce as Miss Dubber. A Perfect Spy, Part 5.
Damn you, whoever you are. All right, keep your hair on. Hello.
It's me, Jack.
Kate?
May I come in?
Sure. Well, you know the way.
Thanks.
What now, I wonder?
Good evening, Mr. Brotherhood. Everything all right?
Yes, fine, Jim. Fine. I'm just waiting for someone.
All right. Oh, good evening, madam.
Good evening. Hello, Jack.
Hello.
I thought I'd find you here.
Come on in.
Thank you. Just like old times.
Yeah, let me take your coat.
Thanks.
Drink?
Whatever you're having.
Vodka martini.
Wonderful. I thought you'd like an update. Keep you abreast of what's going on.
Panic, I should imagine.
Controlled panic.
Oh, yes.
Bo's pulling out all the stops. There's about 200 people involved.
Do they all know what it's about?
No.
The press?
Bo's got it all sewn up. Same for radio and TV.
Oh, here. Try that for size.
Thanks.
Here's looking at you, kid.
And you.
Well, why did you sit down?
Sofa or bed?
Whichever.
They've checked on that inspector who called at Tom's school.
And?
He wasn't family.
Well, I'd already worked that out.
Those terrified the Americans may have sent him.
Those should be more worried about thin mustachioed gents who accost him at Greek cricket matches.
He is checking that out, Jack.
So, where do I stand?
Where do you think? They're terrified you'll pull down the temple.
Oh, well, Pym may have done that already.
Will they find him?
Magnus? Maybe.
Maybe he's not enough, Jack. I need to know.
Need to know? Now, why would my lovely little Kate need to know? You're drinking well.
Get me another, Jack.
I don't remember you throwing back your vodka like that.
Why shouldn't I?
More to the point, why should you? You know, I thought for a moment there, Beau Bramall had sent you.
No.
And then I thought, no, she's crept in here to talk to me, to tell me something. Something I suspect I may not like at all. Yes. Well, my lovely. Tell Jack.
He's an empty shell, Jack.
Who's this we're talking about, Beau, Nigel?
Magnus.
Magnus?
Hold me, Jack. Hold me close.
Later. What about Magnus?
I love you, Kate. Get me clear of this and I'll marry you. I'll dump Mary. We'll go and live abroad.
Ah. How deep are you in, Kate?
Deep enough. I'm sorry, Jack. I've been such a fool.
You're not the only one. What did you do?
There was an entry he wanted from his personal file. An army report from his national service time in Austria.
And you gave it to him?
Seems so trivial. He was little more than a boy running some Joe into Czechoslovakia. But there was this girl called Sabina who got into the act and wanted to marry him.
And?
She defected. He said if anyone ever turned that up, he'd never make it to the fifth floor.
When was this?
After he came back from Prague. We've been going about a year.
Sabina, you said?
Yes.
Not Poppy?
No.
Does Joe have a name?
Code name. Greensleeves.
So, you fished the paper from the file. What did you do with it? Oh, is this it?
His application for admission to the service. And a glowing testimonial from his commanding officer.
Ah, number 6 Field Interrogation Unit, Graz. Exceptional young officer. There's no mention of Sabina.
I know.
I can't see what he was so worried about. Excellent memory for detail. His CO was in love with him, too.
Weren't we all?
officer?
Brotherhood. There's a War Office file I want. British Army of Occupation in Austria, an old field case. Operation Greensleeves. Where will it be?
Ministry of Defence, I suppose, seeing that the War Office was disbanded about 200 years ago.
What's your name?
Nicholson.
Well, Nicholson, don't bloody suppose. Find it, fetch it, and phone me back when it's on your desk.
Right, sir.
And while you're about it, ask MOD to give you the name and present whereabouts of the officer commanding number 6 Interrogation Unit, Field Security, Graz, Austria. On, wait a minute, 18th of July, 1951. You got that?
Greensleeves and the CO, 6 Interrogation, 18751. I'll get back to you.
The number's 491-3292, and I'm in a hurry. Does Magnus know you've still got this?
He does now. That's what he phoned me to find
phoned?
Out.
Phoned? When?
Monday evening.
What time Monday evening?
10. No, 10:15. The commercial break in news at 10.
Well, that's well after he was supposed to have left for Vienna. Where was he calling from?
A phone box.
For local, long distance?
I don't know, but he must have been on for about 20 minutes.
Saying what?
He said he was sorry for everything. It wasn't all pretend.
Wasn't?
Yes, wasn't. It was, well, almost a sort of retrospective.
And what about the file?
He said I should feel free to tell everyone what I'd done, not to shield him anymore. To give him a week. 1 week, Kate. It's not a lot after all those years.
It doesn't make sense. Just a minute. Yes?
This is Nicholson.
Well, that was quick.
Yes. That file you asked for went missing years ago.
Well, who was it last signed out to?
It's marked out to us. 1953. They say we never returned it.
Which one of us in particular?
Czech section. MRP. That'd be them, wouldn't it?
Yes.
Do you want me to ring Vienna, ask what he did with it?
No. No, thanks.
That's the O's on record as well.
Oh, good man.
A Major Harrison Membury, Education Corps.
What?
Yes. Apparently he was on secondment to Army Intelligence from 1950 to, 1954.
Dear God. Do we know his present whereabouts?
Lavington, near Devizes in Wiltshire. Address is simply Fish Ponds, believe it or not. Name of the house, I suppose.
Hello there.
Mrs. Membury?
You managed to find us all right, then.
Oh, very easily, thank you. Find Jack Marlowe.
How do you do? Come and meet Harrison. He's still poodling around in the ponds.
Oh, I hope I'm not disturbing him.
Not at all. To tell you the truth, I think he's rather taken with the idea that anyone should want to write a history of field security.
Well, it's only for the archives.
Even so, I'm surprised anyone of the MOD had the wit to get hold of the actual people involved before they all peg out. Ah!
Harry, Mr. Marlowe has arrived.
Huh? Oh, righto. Just coming.
How are the trouts, dear?
All right, I suppose.
Trout? Oh, lovely.
We don't eat them, Mr. Marlowe. Only the pike are allowed to do that.
Well, you're the academic chap, are you?
He's a historian, darling. I told you.
I can't think why they want to keep on raking over the past.
It's the greensleeve material we're particularly interested in, sir. Most of the original paperwork seems to have gone astray.
Greensleeves, you say? Well, he was really young Pym's agent rather than mine.
Was he?
But you knew what was going on, Harry, didn't you?
Yes. That was a long time ago, dear. Every little helps, sir. Pull the whole picture together.
I suppose so.
We've got some old photo albums of our time in Graz, if that would help.
That could be very useful. Very useful.
Let's go inside, then, shall we?
Fine.
Yep. I say, Marlowe, whatever happened to young Pym? You know...
And that was when I was posted to Graz in Austria, a newly commissioned second lieutenant serving out his national service.
May I come in, Mr. Canterbury?
Of course, Miss Dubber.
I've brought some tea for you.
Thank you.
Well, I thought you were working so hard, you'd prefer it up here.
Oh, that's kind of you.
Where can I put the tray?
Hmm? Oh, here, on the desk. Just clear this rubbish out of the way.
There. The fruitcake is homemade.
You do spoil me, Miss D.
Oh, nonsense. It's such a beautiful day, isn't it?
Yes.
I'm so sorry, Mr. Canterbury. I didn't intend to disturb you. It must be so hard to begin again when you've been interrupted.
No, don't worry.
Begin again. That's been my life, Miss D. So many beginnings. But Graz. Graz was particularly significant. Yes. When I reported to the 6th Interrogation Unit, Field Security, I found the CO standing knee-deep in the waters of an ornamental lake, poking about with a thing like a shrimping net, muttering imprecations against a marauding pike.
Go on. Shoot. Come on. Oh, my goodness. You must be Pim.
Yes, sir.
Yes. Well, glad you found your way here.
Beautiful lake, sir.
Isn't it just? I'm going to clear away all this weed and drag the whole bed to see exactly what we've got.
Sounds like a lot of work.
Oh, it is. It is. You married?
No, sir.
Marvellous. You'll be free at weekends, then.
And I was. I spent weekend after weekend toiling in the waters of that lake with Major Membry, while his wife stood on the bank painting the happy scene in oils.
Hold the wire down, Magnus.
Like this?
Yes, that's the way. Now take the strain. Now, heave. Heave, man.
Life could scarcely have been more to my liking. I had naffy whiskey at 7 shillings a bottle, cigarettes at 12 shillings a hundred. But the icing on the cake was Sabina, our Czech interpreter. I was in love the moment I laid eyes on her.
Hello.
Oh, well, I'll sit in the back, shall I? There's room for three up front, sir.
Very well.
Only it's a bit hard on the bum in back of the Vancouver.
It's necessary cushion on the buttock.
Our destination on these trips was the refugee camps. Our job was to sort out the true refugees from those who might have more sinister reasons for crossing the border.
What good steps he shall?
Brno.
He came from Brno.
Ask him how he coped with 2 suitcases and 2 children when his wife was so heavily pregnant.
You think he's spy, Magnus?
Maybe. Ask him if he would like to spy for us.
You are serious?
Go on, ask him. Tell him we're going to dump him back across the border anyway.
Třeba by jste byl britským špionem.
Ne, nikdy.
Čeká, že vás stejně pošle zpátky.
Prosím, nedělejte to. To nemůžete přece udělat, vždyť žena čeká dítě.
In a way, I suppose I was drawing on the parallels in my own life to recognize the inconsistencies in the stories they told me.
Where do you learn to play such stupid games, Magnus?
At Oxford. This German student fellow there. We were good friends. Until I discovered he was a spy.
Aren't they all?
He was communist?
Well, as it turned out, yes. Tried to hide it. Slip out when he tried to argue with him.
He was homosexual?
Don't think so. Had women in regiments.
He slept only with military women.
That is a fair phrase.
Oh, I think he was wishing to disguise his homosexuality.
I doubt it somehow.
This is normal.
Oh.
You want I give you another check lesson on Saturday?
I'd like that very much. I'm really beginning to enjoy it.
I think we will also make love this time.
Don't
we? I learned a lot from Sabina, actually, and gained a lot of confidence. After so many years of posturing and pretending, I had become a man.
Come on, Magnus. There's a hell of a lot to do. Is something wrong?
Got something on my mind, sir.
We can't get down to serious business if we've got something on our mind, eh?
No.
So, what's the problem?
I've had rather a wrong approach, Mason, sir.
Oh?
Someone claiming to represent a potential defector, sir.
Not another Hungarian frontier guard?
No, sir.
Good.
This is a Czech, apparently. Sergeant Clark, working in the strongroom at their Southern Command HQ.
live in would give their eye teeth for some good stuff about Checo. Blasted Americans think they have a monopoly on the place.
He's supposed to be coming out tomorrow night from the Soviet zone. That's according to my source. If we don't meet him, he intends to go direct to the Americans.
Oh, my hat. We can't have that. Now, this source of yours, Magnus...
Yes, sir?
You didn't hear of him through the Rittmeister, did you? Only I'd rather have my fill of the Rittmeister's tip-offs.
I hadn't heard it from the Rittmeister. My source was a beautifully naked Czech interpreter in the middle of a beautifully advanced Czech lesson.
Oh, Magnus, he's beautiful. But listen to me, darling. This man I'm telling you about, he is friend of my brother. Very brilliant, top access. He will make you very famous in Vienna.
Oh, good.
But you must meet him alone.
Why?
Because he trusts only Pim. Only Pim will do if you cheat and bring others. He will not appear.
I love you.
By the crossroad to Kleinbrandorf, there is a stone painted white. This is where Kaufmann must stand.
Where?
By this white stone. Kaufmann must not pass the white stone, or our friend will go away.
The meeting was to be in a barn on the edge of a field lined with larches. When I got there, I could barely make out the barn until I was practically on top of it. There was no sign of life. I cocked my revolver, took a deep breath, and slowly pushed the door open.
Put your arms up, please. We are neither of us members of the shooting classes.
Excellent.
Now we put our guns away and have a nice quiet chat, eh?
It's you! Axel, I'm going to see you again.
You look well, Sir Magnus. You have grown to a fine fellow, by God. We should buy you a white horse and give you India.
So much had happened in our lives since that night in Bern when the Swiss police dragged Axel from his bed and deported him. I had to protest my innocence in that affair. And I did it well.
Who gives a damn? I was illegal. No money, no papers, so they threw me out, so...
Yeah, but it's so unfair.
A fish gets a hook in its mouth. A trader gets a bullet in the head. An illegal gets marched across the border. For me, two borders. First Austria, then Czechoslovakia. Who gives a damn? It's all in the past, anyway.
But in the new Czechoslovakia, Axel was far from being illegal. The old socialists remembered how his father had fought in Spain with the Talman Brigade. And many of the new socialists were old school friends, who were now high-ups in the party machine.
Suddenly, I am like you, Sir Magnus, an aristo.
Yes.
Let us drink to that.
What with?
What do you think I bring in my briefcase?
Vodka. What else would Axel bring?
I must tell you one thing, Sir Magnus. It is not Axel you meet tonight. It is Pavel. Say it. Sergeant Pavel, with a wife who beats him, kids who hate him, Russian bosses who treat him like a dog. Here?
Thanks.
So, to brave Lieutenant Dim from British Field Security and said Sergeant Pavel from Czech Military Intelligence.
Who wants to defect?
Prosit.
Prosit. You are still proposing to come over to us, aren't you?
Look, Sir Magnus. I think I crossed my last frontier a long time ago.
Then why are you here?
Because, like you, Sir Magnus, I also am a great spy. So when I hear about you, I get excited. Yeah, I think of you spying on me and me spying on you. I think we are two reasonable men. Maybe we can put our heads together and set the world to rights like we used to in the old days. Do you still have your Grimmelshausen?
I still treasure it.
Yeah. This is better.
Is this genuine?
If they ever find out, I can bring you my balls as well.
I don't believe it. The Soviet order of battle in Czechoslovakia.
Not 100% up to date, perhaps, but a great coup for you, Sir Magnus. You have a defector in place, a defector with access who will give you such information like Vienna has never seen before.
Axel was right, of course. I was to discover that a man with a highly regarded source was cherished by everyone. Membury, Vienna, even Whitehall.
Questions, questions. They ask always more questions. We are at the center of a fantastic industry, Sir Magnus.
Oh, it's amazing.
They do not have good cigars at your nephew?
Afraid not. Don't stop the Sancerre either. Had to get it from the officer's mess.
Good, though. You smoked salmon also.
You want some more?
Huh.
What have you got for me this time round?
Nothing.
What?
I think perhaps we let them starve a little. Give them better appetite next time.
I've got to give them something.
Tell them Sergeant Pavel is having a crisis of conscience. It is normal, I think. For a defector in place, that is quite normal.
But it was not Sergeant Pavel who was to have the real crisis of conscience. It was Lieutenant Pym. 2 or 3 months later, the same barn. The same list of follow-up questions from Vienna. But not the same Axel.
I have troubles to make this. You must help me. For God's sake, help me.
Why? What's happened?
They're arresting my friends. Two were dragged from their beds this morning. Many have just disappeared.
No.
Do you know what they do to people like us? Do you understand?
Prague, it seemed, was having one of its periodic purges. The catalogue was endless. Factory workers, academics, even the military, taken and tortured.
I had to tell them about us, Sir Magnus. There was no other way.
Tell them what?
I had to explain why I keep crossing the border, so I made up a story. I told them I was cultivating a British traitor. Big fish.
Me.
But they want proof.
What sort of proof?
Intelligence, Sir Magnus. Product. Something a British traitor would give me when I blackmail him. Not the secrets of the atom bomb, but good. Not chicken feed.
Oh, my God.
Steal something for me, Sir Magnus, or I am a dead man. A dead man, you understand?
I remember that day. I shall remember it all my life. As we walked back towards the white stone where Kaufman was waiting, Axel stooped and picked a couple of harvest poppies and handed them to me.
I give you one for me, Sir Magnus, and one for you. There will never be another of either of us. It is you who are the keeper of our friendship now.
Life is one continuous payment. It's just a question of which creditor is asking the loudest. I had to see him right.
Another snap of Harry in his waders, I'm afraid.
Looks a nice little lake.
Not bad.
Kept him out of mischief, Mr. Marlowe.
Yes, I'm sure. Ah, a group photograph.
Oh, yes. I think I took this one.
Mm-hmm.
That's the old Rittmeister, and next to him, what was the mess waiter's name, Harry?
I forget.
Who's that? Oh, on your left, Major.
That's young Magnus, isn't it?
Him. He did all the brilliant work.
And those are the girls. Remember them, Harry?
Mm-hmm.
They were nothing but trouble, Mr. Marlowe.
They did our interpreting for us.
Was an interpreter involved in the Greensleeves operation?
Oh, there's no need. Greensleeves spoke German. Young Pym handled him solo.
Completely on his own?
Mm-hmm. Greensleeves insisted on it.
And when Pym left, I mean, who took him over then?
I did. Oh, never thought much to the fellow, actually. London was jumping with joy, but I always thought his stuff was a bit too flashy.
How do you mean?
Well, it all looked very good on the plate, but when you came to chew it over, there was precious little there. Like trying to eat a pike. All bones.
And no meat.
Exactly. I sometimes wondered if the Czechs went batting and bowling at the same time.
Harry always thought that was why Greensleeves didn't show up after young Magnus left. Didn't you, dear?
Hmm. Mean of me, I expect.
Are you saying you never met Greensleeves?
Mm-hmm. Blighter stood me up at the altar.
Vienna were absolutely furious. Blamed it all on poor Harry.
And then, when I told them that he was no good anyway, they didn't like it one little bit. Packed me off back to the education corps. That's a double.
Typical. Greensleeves didn't have any other code name at any time, did he?
Let me think.
I mean, I thought there was another source in Graz around that time. Serena, was it Serena? Sabrina? Something like that.
Sabina?
He's talking about a source, darling. Ah, Sabina was an interpreter.
That's her, there.
The blonde.
Little minx. Set her cap at Magnus, didn't she?
What became of her, do you know?
Went back home to Czechoslovakia. Left a note for Harry saying she was homesick or something equally absurd.
You don't remember her other name, Marinette, I see?
Court, wasn't it, Harry? K-O-R-D-T?
Hmm?
Her other name.
Poppy.
What did you say, Major?
Yes. Poppy. That's it.
Nonsense. No one ever called her anything but Sabina.
You're not talking about her. Greensleeves. His real name was Pavel something or other. I forget what. And then, for some reason, Magnus started calling him Poppy.
Are you sure about that?
Oh, absolutely positive. We called him Poppy right up to Remembrance Day. And then some buffoon in London decided that calling him Poppy was an insult to the foreman.
Probably got promoted for it, darling.
More than likely. Poppies are for heroes, not traitors. That was the official line. Oh, absolute bosh. I was furious. And so was Magnus. Poppy is a hero, he said.
Did he now?
Yes. I always liked Magnus for that.